Why should we come together on Sunday to worship God and His Son, Jesus Christ? Why should we assemble with Christians? Why should we take time to do that? We've been studying over the past few weeks some passages, hopefully, to get us to understand that we have a great God that we can come and serve and His Son, Jesus Christ. We have to know about Him. We have to understand the greatness of God, and maybe we would be compelled to do that over some of the other mundane things that we might be doing on a Sunday morning. So friends, I'm glad that you've joined us this morning for the Let the Bible Speak program, and I want to continue that series of lessons. And this morning, we want to look at John chapter 10. We want to look at the greatness of Jesus Christ. And there is so much in this chapter that I want to break it up into two parts, and we will look at the first part of it this morning, and Lord willing, the last part of it next week. In the first part, Jesus is a shepherd. In the last part, Jesus is the Christ, the divine Son of God. And we will never understand the importance of coming to worship God and Jesus on a Sunday until we understand the greatness of God and Jesus. So I hope to do that in these lessons. And there are those New Testament Christians who are traveling to come and worship. And you should be encouraged about the great God and Jesus that you serve. These lessons should bolster the faith that you already have and hopefully encourage you to continue being faithful. But we've got to let other people know what we already know, and that is the greatness of God and Jesus. In John chapter 10, Jesus has been at the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall of the year, late September, early October. And really, all of John chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10 come from this setting. He had just healed the blind man. The Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't like that. And he goes on to teach another lesson. Not only can he open the eyes of the blind, but he leads all mankind like a shepherd to God. And friend, you can let him lead you to God and to heaven today. So in John chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not in by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." When Jesus said, "I say to you," you have to go back to chapter 9 to see who that is. That is the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders of the day. And in particular, those who were denying and didn't want to accept the fact that Jesus had worked a miracle in chapter 9, and he had healed a blind man. He told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and when he did, he came seeing. He put some spittle in clay, and anointed his eyes, and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did that, he became full in his and healed in his sight. And the Pharisees didn't want to accept that. So Jesus says to them, and he had just been saying toward the end of chapter 9 that you are spiritually blind. He said, "To you, I say, he that enters in not by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some of the way is a thief and a robber." They were like spiritual thieves and spiritual robbers, stealing God's people away from the truth. They were religious, but in their religion, they had man-made traditions and laws that went against the Word of God, that made void the Word of God, that led people astray. In Matthew chapter 23, he said, "You make people twofold more a son of hell than to bring them to the kingdom." They weren't helping people. And so they are not the right ones to lead people. They are like robbers and thieves coming up, and instead of having authority to come into where the sheep are, they climb up over the wall or some other way, and they try to weasel their way in and steal the sheep away. And that's what they're doing, And Jesus is going to say, I am the one who has the proper way to lead these people, not you. And we need to think about that today, friends. Who are we following? Who are we letting lead us to God in heaven? Is it Jesus Christ and his words in the New Testament? Or is it some other man or woman that has some dynamic characteristic, some TV evangelist, some other dynamic individual that has gotten our attention and we're following him or her? We don't need to do that. And that includes me. We don't need to follow man. There is no man on earth that is God's representative. We don't follow a pope. We don't follow a president. We don't follow a preacher or a pastor. We follow Jesus Christ. And we don't need to let somebody come like a robber and a thief and steal us away. So ask yourself, who, if anyone, are you following? Who's your spiritual guide today? In verse 2, Jesus said, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And that's who he is. To enter in by the door is to enter in to the proper, with the proper authority and in the proper way to lead the sheep. To him, referencing Jesus, the porter, the doorkeeper, opens and the sheep hear his voice. So Jesus is the one to follow. Now, starting with verses 3 through 5, Jesus is going to talk about some characteristic of the sheep. The sheep are the people, the masses, and these are people who need to come to God and be saved, but they need to do that through Jesus Christ, the shepherd. They need to let the shepherd follow them. But I want us to notice some characteristics about the sheep, and you ask yourself, is this you? Is this me? First of all, Jesus says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Are you willing to hear the voice of Jesus on the pages of the New Testament? God speaks to us today through Jesus, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Not through other man-made religions. Jesus will say later in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So it's not Islam and Buddhism and Hinduism and Judaism or any other ism, Mormonism, or any other ism. It is being a simple New Testament Christian and following Jesus only. And we've got to hear his voice. And that's not some mystical, mysterious voice. It's the voice of Jesus on the pages of the New Testament. And he leads them out. He calls them and leads them out. Are you willing to be called by the gospel? 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14. Are you willing to let Jesus lead you? He does that through the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Are you willing to be led by the words of the Holy Spirit? You have to have ears that are open to hearing. You have to have a will that is willing to be led, not rebellious, not hardened, not bristling, not proud, not arrogant, not resisting. Will you hear Jesus? Will you allow him to call you? Will you allow him to lead you? Verse 4, when he has put forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look at that statement, for they know his voice. How do you know to follow Jesus? Because you know his voice. Some people don't know the voice of Jesus. They can't recognize scripture from man-made opinion. They cannot recognize truth from error. They cannot recognize what is right versus what is wrong, what is good versus what is evil. They're listening to all of these voices in the world, and especially with their phone and in their computer, the social media. Oh, they listen to a lot of voices, but it's the voices of worldly men and women. Can you even recognize the voice of Jesus? The only way we can know his voice is to be reading and studying and hearing and understanding our Bible, friends. And they're everywhere. They're laying around everywhere. You probably have one not too far from you. And even if you didn't have one, you could go to the store in Clarksville and easily buy a Bible. You could go to a secondhand store and buy one very cheaply. They're everywhere. And you could start reading your New Testament. Start in Matthew, and you can start hearing the voice of Jesus. But they know to follow him because they know his voice. We've got to know the voice of Jesus. And we've got to be able to recognize that versus another voice that is not Jesus. Verse 5. This is also very important. We're looking at characteristics of people who follow Jesus. The true sheep. The true flock of God. The true church of God. And the flock, the sheep, are the church. Acts 20, verse 28. Look at this, verse 5. Jesus said, "A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Notice the contrast between verse 4 and 5. They know the voice of Jesus, but they don't know the voice of strangers. They will not follow a stranger, but will flee from him. I don't want to follow someone other than Jesus. That needs to be our attitude. In fact, I'm going to run away from that, not see how close I can get to that. I do not know the voice of strangers. I wish more people would spend more time knowing their Bible rather than knowing that which is false. And there are some things that we can know that aren't going to hurt us. We might want to know some things with regard to sports statistics or with regard to keeping up with the daily stock market. Or we might like to know about the weather. Sometimes I will look on my weather app. I'd like to know what's coming up today or this week in the weather. There's some things that we can know that aren't going to hurt us, but there are a lot of things out there that if we seek after to know that, it's going to hurt us. Colossians 2:8, there's a lot of human philosophy out there that is going to lead us astray from Christ and spiritually, if not physically, hurt us. So notice that we know the words of Christ, but we don't know the words of strangers. That's, friends, what we need to have in our lives. Verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things which he spake unto them." Jesus is using a parable or a proverb, a story, as it were, of sheep and a shepherd to illustrate himself. And Jesus did these kinds of things. We know from Matthew chapter 13 that he did these kinds of things to separate those who really want to know and understand and obey and follow him and those who do not. Verse 7, "Jesus therefore said unto them again." Again, notice how that Jesus is speaking to these religious Pharisees. And some of them, they were religious, they were Pharisees, but they understood not the things which he spake. By the way, they should have known some of these things. Even the Old Testament, like in Ezekiel chapter 34, God promised that one day, future time from Ezekiel, in the days of the Messiah, in the days in the future from the Babylonian captivity, that there would be one shepherd and one flock. God had already promised and prophesied that. And if these Pharisees had really known their scripture and gotten their eyes off of themselves, they would have been thinking, okay, who is this one shepherd? It's obviously not all of us. It's one individual. Who is that? We need to be looking for that one shepherd, and we need to be a part of that one flock, not the different Jewish sects that we have, Pharisees, Sadducees, Herodians, Zealots, Essenes. We don't need to be a part of different groups, but they wouldn't think about Ezekiel 34 and passages like that. They should have understood verse 6, but they did not. Now, verse 7, "Jesus therefore said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly," this is the truth of the matter, "I am the door of the sheep." So notice verse 2, he enters in by the door, that person is the shepherd. Notice, and then in a few verses, he's going to say, not only is he the door, but he is the shepherd. Notice that he's more than one figure here. He's the door, meaning the authority, the way in which sheep come in and out of the fold. He's also the shepherd. He's the guide. So he's more than one figure here. He's a door and he's a shepherd. So he says, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. This is a reference back to verse 1, and I've already talked about that. But the sheep, this is the true sheep, did not hear them. There's always people who are willing not to follow the false person, but the true person. And when John the Baptist came and pointed people to Jesus, the humble crowds, they were baptized in the Jordan, wanting to follow Jesus. And there were those who followed Jesus when he came along. And the common people heard him gladly. The humble people, the contrite people, the publicans and sinners and others who wanted the truth, they would not follow these false religious leaders. So Jesus said, these individuals, these religious leaders are like thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and go out and shall find pasture. He's using a figure that many, if not all of them, would have known in first century Palestine, the shepherd and the sheep. It's a very common job to have. It's a very common work. And people would have been around those individuals. People would have known individuals like that, would have seen that growing up. And he's making the comparison. So he is, first of all, the door here. Later he's going to say he's also the shepherd, but he's the door. He's the way. He's the means by which you can go in and out. He's the way by which you can go in and out. And we need to come to Jesus. And he said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we can be saved from sin through Jesus Christ. We can have our sins washed away in baptism and be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And this is what we need, friends. And as a sheep, if a sheep errs, a sheep can still be saved by coming back to Jesus Christ. There's salvation in none other. That's what Peter and John are going to preach in Acts chapter 4. In none other is there salvation, Acts 4:12. So we need that salvation. Verse 10, the thief comes not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. Literally, over and over again, filled and more filled. The false teacher, the false leader, the errorist, they are not there to save you, friend. They're there to kill and destroy and steal you away. Don't let that happen. Don't let someone spiritually steal you away from the right way, kill you and destroy you. But come to the one who will give us life and have it abundantly. Everybody has a physical life. Everybody breathes, those who are living, and they might have an education or a job or a car or a phone or a computer or all kinds of material things. They have a life. Jesus didn't come to give people what they already have. He came to give them another kind of life, an abundant life. That's a saved life, the previous verse. And you can have that, friends, but you've got to come to the shepherd. So then Jesus moves on to the next figure. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus did that. And he'll talk about that more in just a minute. He did that when he died on the cross. Sacrifice. These Pharisees aren't going to sacrifice like that for anybody. But Jesus died so that mankind can come to him and obey him and be saved from their sin. So he's the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, behold, the wolf comes and leaves the sheep, and he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. There can be some who were hired on a temporary basis to help a shepherd, but they're not responsible for the sheep. They're not the main ones in charge. And you'll see that happen in a business today. The boss takes the business very seriously, but sometimes the hired help runs away and doesn't do anything to help. They're not as invested in the business as the owner is. And again, like the thieves and the robbers, the hireling is not going to lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus is. And so again, we need to be following Jesus. The hireling is going to run away when the wolf comes, and the wolf is going to snatch away the sheep. The devil is like a roaring lion. A wolf is a animal that's going to attack sheep and kill them. A lion is going to as well. There are going to be things that attack God's people. Jesus is not going to run away. He's going to protect them. He's going to lay his life down for them. Other people are not going to protect you. Jesus is. And so, we've got to stay with the good shepherd, not even the hireling. There are some people, verse 13, the hireling doesn't care for the sheep. There's some people who don't care for you. They don't care about you. They don't care that they're destroying you with their bad ideologies. They don't care about that. But Jesus cares. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. We read that earlier in verse 4. The sheep know his voice. This is identification. To be known by Christ and to know Christ is such a great thing. It's a comforting and consoling and encouraging thing to be known by Christ and to know him. This is fellowship. This is identification. This is ownership. And it's very important that we be a part of the flock of God. The elders tend the flock of God. And we need to be a part of that flock. You don't need to be out here on your own. You need to be a part of the flock of God. And when you're in that flock and the elders are watching over and tending that flock, and Jesus, 1 Peter 5, 1 and following, you have the elders and then Jesus is the chief shepherd, you will be protected spiritually from this wicked world that is trying to, like a wolf, come and drag you away and kill you. So be a part of that flock. Verse 15, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. We've got to have that same intimate relationship with Jesus that he has with his own Father. Close relationship, fellowship, both being spiritually one with each other. And then he says again, I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. I spoke to you earlier that this was even prophesied back in Ezekiel 34:23, Ezekiel 37:24. One shepherd and one flock. And Jesus would not only be a shepherd to the Jews, but a shepherd also to the Gentiles, and bring them together, and they would be one. They shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd. Notice the one. one body of Christ. This matches up with Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, Paul's seven ones. And one of those is the one body of Christ. But notice how unity is achieved. This is very important. They shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock. Unity comes about by everyone listening to the voice of Christ. Will you do that and be unified with other New Testament Christians here in Clarksville, Tennessee? The Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ is that flock. We're striving to be that flock. Will you come and be a part of that? We have elders that tend and watch over the flock of God. We submit to the chief shepherd, Jesus, every week by opening up that New Testament and submitting to His Word. And we're striving to be unified in one. People of a different color can be one. People of a different race can be one. People of a different background can be one. And we are. And we invite you to come and be a part of that. Rather than being out here in the world with no one to truly protect you and guide you. If you're married, your spouse needs that. If you have children, your children need that. We need protection and we need guidance. And Jesus is the one to do that. Jesus says in verse 17, "Therefore does the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power, or the right, literally, the authority, to take it up again. This commandment received I from my Father." God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. God loves Jesus, and a part of that love is that Jesus would sacrifice or lay Himself down by dying on the cross. And we are so thankful that He did that very thing. He did that so that we can be saved from sin. He did that so that we can be a part of His flock. Friends, will you do that? And Peter said that He bore our sins on the cross. What a great thing that we read about there. We were going astray like sheep, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. That's Jesus. And we can come back because He died for our sins, but we've got to come to Him. Friends, Jesus is the door. He's the way. He's the shepherd. He's the guide. Will you become a part of His flock today? Let us help you to do that. You'll enjoy that experience of protection and fellowship and guidance. Come be a part of that flock. Thank you for being a listener today on the Let the Bible Speak program.